supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special. We're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Accept our condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida Shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today, Tuesday, is the 11th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 18th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 9th of August, 2022, of the Christian Gregorian calendar.
On that sad and grievous day of Ashura, we are proud to be called the Shia. on that sad and grievous day of Ashura. We are proud to be called the Shia, when our eyes and our hearts will shed those tears for Hussein, the master of the martyrs.
Reconciliation. A key principle of Imam al-Hussein's mission, mere indulgence in rituals, however fervently executed, cannot answer the call of Hal min Nasirin yansurni, if we ignore the call of our conscience towards social justice. According to the Holy Quran, when the moral fabric of a society is being torn, then such a community passes through the path of corruption and will be in desperate need of reform. It is in that spirit that one must understand the spirit of Azaa Hussein. In his own words, Imam Hussein declared his mission of reformation. I am not taking up arms in order to make merry or be delighted over what I possess. I am not making mischief nor exercising oppression, but I am fighting to defend the sole goal of seeking reform of the Ummah of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him. I want to enjoin good and forbid evil and guide the affairs of the people as my grandfather and my father, Ali ibn Abi Talib, were doing. The key point made is this announcement was that Imam Hussein left Medina seeking reformation to the Ummah of his grandfather. Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Now there are conditions for us that before we enjoin the good that we should be aware of. One of those conditions is that we should have knowledge. You should make sure that this thing that you're going to tell somebody is halal or haram, that you're certain about it. Maybe according to a jurist, the way that, for example, some parts of discrepancies, that some of the jurists minded discrepancies they have, some of them, the jurists might allow, for example, a condition in salat, in prayer, or another invalidator in fast is not invalid for them. You have to make sure, according to their jurist, according to the scholar they follow, and the knowledge that you have, is certain that this is haram for them before you enjoin the good. Two, we should make sure that we are looking at a good method. Because many people, they think that, okay, now that I'm going to enjoin the good, it's sufficient for me just to tell them, hey, this is haram, or hey, this is halal, or this is wajib. But that is not sufficient. Amr ma'ruf and nahy al-munkar means you're taking them with kindness, with affection. You're taking them and helping them out, just like you'd help somebody else out. You won't do it with a, you know, angrily, you won't do it with a in a bad mood. You would do it in a very pleasant way. And you have to think of the best methodology sometimes to help people out. Maybe sometimes indirectly. You talk about something, you know, you don't have to tell them directly. You say indirectly, you know, this was a sin. I read this in this book. The person says, oh, wow, I didn't know. I didn't know this certain action was haram. So, or I didn't really know that it was this big of a sin for me. So the method that we choose is very important. Sometimes we can push people away more from Islam. If you don't choose the appropriate methodology, and always start with the most important things, like helping them with salat, helping them with fasting, helping them with those important tenets and pillars of Islam that are the most important. Third of all, some people might have a lot of sins, or they might be indulged and sin, and you think that, oh, it's not going to have any effect. Maybe you could take away one action, help take away one action that they do, one bad habit that they have. You don't necessarily have to change completely, expect to completely change, or maybe from, say, 100 things, 10 of them you could help him out with. And fourth of all is when and where to say. Sometimes in front of everybody, you don't have to embarrass somebody. You can take them privately and talk to them and say, brother or sister, I'm very concerned for you. I'm worried about you. As you know, I'm doing this out of love for you. Or some of the family members come together, or some of the friends, and say, you know, what's going on? Let's see what's happening. And you talk with them in a very good way, in the appropriate place, an appropriate time, and of course, in the appropriate manner. So that we can, inshallah, be of those that fulfill this important obligation, which is Amr Ma'ruf wa Nahi al-Munkar. And we link ourselves to the movement of Imam Hussein, which is a movement of enjoining the good. Please recite a salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
The movement of Imam Hussein is a reforming movement based on the Islamic principles of justice and equity. Imam Hussein's uprising was aimed at campaign against the corruption of the Umayyad government and the social injustices of that time, when moral principles which were set up by the Holy Prophet of Islam were on the verge of destruction, the human values were forgotten, and treachery and injustice became common. Today there are many parallels, and as we commemorate yet another Muharram, we must not shirk our responsibilities to campaign against injustice, oppression, poverty, corruption, and social disorders. This is why today our Azadari and our mourning must send a message to the world at large in the name of Imam al-Hussein and 72 of his dear ones, who sacrificed their lives under the scorching sun of that parched land of Karbala, that we stand for the truth and social justice for all of humanity.
Assalamu alaykum ya Abu Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fana'ik. Alayka minni salamullah. أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين على أولاد الحسين على أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
The aftermath of Karbala, the tents were robbed. This is the title of this part on today's special from IRIB English Radio. After the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein, his tents and that of his womenfolk and companions were ransacked. All belongings were taken, as well as his injured horses. Shams Saadat Ali ibn Hussein, who was sick at that time, was also in one of the tents. Ali ibn Hussein, peace be upon him, and all the women were taken into custody. Amongst those women who survived were Rubab, the wife of Imam Hussein, as well as Zainab ibn Hussein, peace be upon them. Eventually, the severed head of Imam al-Hussein was presented to the governor, who then proceeded to tap the blessed teeth of Imam al-Hussein with a stick. The next day, the captives were sent to Yazid. When the captured finally arrived Syria, they were taken to the palace of Yazid. Imam Hussein's head, which was still on a spear, and all the other heads which were on the platters were brought before Yazid. When the daughters of Imam Hussein saw their father's head, they could not hold back and screamed out and cried. Sayyida Zainab, alayha salam, made an inspiring and bold speech against Yazid, to which he had little response. After a few days in Syria, the captured were taken back to Medina.
As we know that after Imam Hussein alayhi salam was killed, the tragedies continued to mount upon the family of the Prophet. As the writers of the Maqtal, those who narrate the tragedy of Karbala, as they mention in their books, that one of the first things that their enemies in the camp of Ubaidullah ibn Ziyad and the army of Umar ibn As'ad Mal'un, one of the first things that they began to do was go and to loot the body of Abu Abdullah alayhi salam. It was not enough that they had killed him. It was not enough that there was hundreds and hundreds of wounds on his body. It wasn't enough that his body had been showered with arrows. But we're told in the books of Maqtal that people would come and try to steal whatever belongings Abu Abdullah had. Somebody came and stole the turban off of his head. Somebody came and stole the sandals off of his feet. Somebody came and stole the shirt off of the back of Abu Abdullah. Eventually, as people were coming one after the other, one man comes to the body of Abu Abdullah. As his body is laying barren on the plains of Karbala, covered in blood, and he looks at the hand of Imam Hussein and he sees that Imam has a ring on his finger, and he wants the ring off of the finger, so he begins to pull at the ring. The more he pulls, the more he finds he can't get the ring off of the hand of Abu Abdullah. This is a ring that had been given to him from his grandfather, from his father, had been carried on through the generations. Brothers and sisters, the writers of Maqtal mentioned that as this man tried to pull the ring, he couldn't get it out, so he reached into his pocket. He reaches into his back and he takes out a knife. He begins to slice off the finger of Abu Abdullah to get to that ring. Eventually, he cuts off the finger of Abu Abdullah and takes the ring off of his hand. Brothers and sisters, this is not the only tragedy. As we know that Umar ibn As'ad had given the order for all of the heads of the shuhada to be carried, to be cut off of their bodies and to be taken towards Kufa, that they should meet the heads in the city of Kufa and then to take those to Sham, to the palace of the cursed Yazid. As they go to try to find all the bodies of the shuhada, they begin to take the heads one after the other after the other. Eventually they get to Abu Abdullah and they remove his head from his body. The cursed Khuli is taken charge of the head of Abu Abdullah. Once they've done desecrating the body of Abu Abdullah, the enemy, and this is still before the time of Maghrib, before Sham-e-Ghariba approaches, they give the order to the enemy troops to go towards the tents. They tell them to go towards the Khaymagah and to light fire to all of the tents. As they go and light fire to the tents, the women and the children run from one tent to the other. As they light that tent on fire, they run towards another tent. Eventually, one tent is left remaining. That is where Sayyida Sajjad is. The enemy forces, they go into the tents. They loot whatever belongings the Ahlul Bayt have. They even loot the prayer mat that Imam As-Sajjad was sleeping upon. Eventually, as all the tents are on fire, the women and children are with the Imam of the time, Imam As-Sajjad, and they're in the company of Imam As-Sajjad. Brothers and sisters, this is where the Sham-e-Ghariba begins to approach, as nightfall begins to approach on the family of the Prophet.
Condolences to all Muslims all around the world on the month of Muharram, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin وآلي
محمد ومماتي 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 ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Food for thought. Salam, friends, and condolences yet again to you all on the sad 11th of Muharram, the day the noble household of the prophets were chained and taken as captives to the courts of the tyrants, a day after the blood-curdling tragedy of Karbala. Here we present you the words of the prophet's granddaughter, Hazrat Zainab, peace upon her, as the caravan of captives was forced to pass by the mutilated bodies of martyrs. The angels of the sky shower blessings on you, but here is Hussein lying in the wilderness, wrapped of his turban and cloak, and with his limbs dismembered, while your granddaughters are made captive. To God is the complaint, O Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. This is Hussein, whose head severed from the back of his neck lies exposed to the easterly wind pouring sand upon him, killed by the sons of adulteress. Ah, what grief you have suffered, O Abu Abdullah Hussein.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been narrated from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. This hadith is about the punishment of God. And in this hadith, Imam Hussein alayhi salam explains a little bit about the punishment of God and asks God to save him from this punishment. As you know, we are in the month of Muharram, which is a very sacred and holy, as well as a very sad and solemn month. In this month, the hearts weep for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his loyal companions and his family. In order to better benefit from this month, it behooves us to look at not only the story of Imam Hussein, what transpired on that day, the events that led up to that day, and then also the events that event led to subsequently, but also look at the message of Imam Hussein, why he rose up, as well as in general terms the wisdom that Imam Hussein imparted to us and which has been related to us and has been narrated by narrators of traditions from him. One of those traditions is this beautiful hadith that we would like to recite for you today. Imam Hussein alayhi salam said the following: Allahumma, O God, la tastadrijni bil ihsan. As you know, one of the concepts which has often been mentioned in the Quranic sciences is the concept of istidraj. Istidraj is a concept which has been mentioned in the Quran. It refers to fact that God Almighty gives people blessings continuously with the hopes of their increasing in their punishment. Like, for example, let's say that somebody is given a blessing, and instead of being thankful for it, he is ungrateful for it. God Almighty, sometimes in order to increase the punishment of this person, he keeps giving this person blessings so that his ungratefulness can increase, and eventually the punishment for this person will be so great that it will be a great punishment. This is a concept we call istidraj. So here in this beautiful hadith, Imam Hussein alayhi salam asks God not to perform this act with him. Then the Imam in continuation says, "Wala tu'addibni bil bala." Do not rectify me, do not train me, do not better me by means of calamities, right? If you want to train me, if you want to better me, then do so in other means, right? This beautiful hadith has been narrated in Biharul Anwar, the famous book of traditions, volume 75, page 127, and it is the ninth hadith there. So in general terms, Imam Hussein alayhi salam in this beautiful hadith asks God not to deceive him and increase his punishment by means of the continuous and successive granting of blessings, and also not to rectify his nature and his morals by means of calamities. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the punishment of God in the words of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Thank you so much. Welcome back. Thanks for being with us, dear Muslim brothers and sisters.
We really give thanks to IRIB Radio International.
IRIB
Xavier
English
International
Radio.
School.
Okay.
First question, he said IIBBR.
IRIB. English Radio and Xavier International School.
Network.
Thank you so much.
We are the stars of
it. So, we were talking about some of the attributes of some letters, yes? So, all the letters have attributes, okay? Whenever you want to pronounce them, you want to say the sounds, okay? They have different kind of attributes. So, the two attributes that we learned were istifal and isti'la, right?
Yeah, it means
so what
to
was
go
the meaning
higher,
of isti'la? Okay.
Go high and istifal means go down.
Yeah. So it means basically when you pronounce them, yes, when you pronounce them in isti'la, the letters that have isti'la attribute
they're
or characteristic,
we're going to make our mouth vertical.
Yeah, you have to open your mouth vertically. Yes, up and down. And if the letters have istifal attribute,
we're
going to
make
it
horizontally.
Throw
them
that's
down.
Great. So, I will make some examples. You got to repeat after me. And we say it, okay, that if these letters have fatha, right? Or these letters are sakin and the previous letter has a fatha. All right? So, now, everyone practice this these words with me. Qa'ada.
Qa'ada.
Okay, look. Qa'ada. When I say qa, when I say qa, so my mouth opens vertically. But when I say a and da, horizontally. Qa'ada. If you say qa'ada, it's wrong. Yes?
Qa'ada.
So, if we want to recite the Quran correctly, we have to recite it also beautifully. So, if you say qa'ada, it's correct, but it's not beautiful. It's not a good recitation.
Qa'ada.
So, okay, you have to say qa'ada.
Qa'ada.
So, can I just read?
We will, inshallah, read together the Quran, okay?
I want to read page 10.
The next one, everyone say Khashiyya.
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 Great. Khashiyya. Which letter has isti'la attribute?
Kha.
That's great. Okay, now Khulinqa.
Khulinqa.
When you say Khu, it's clear, yes? When it has Zamma, it's clear. Khu, Qu, Bu, sorry.
Qaf.
So, Du, Qu, Qu. That's easy.
Qaf. Qaf.
Okay. Yes. Okay, next one. Wathuqa.
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 Okay, next one. Yada'u.
Yada'u.
Which one has isti'la attribute?
Yada'u.
Yada'u, which one?
No one.
None of them. Great.
Yada'u means...
Raqiba.
Raqiba.
Raqiba. Which one?
Ra.
Ra. That's great. Dakhala.
Means
oh, this is very good.
Oh, can?
This is very good one.
I forgot the translation.
Saqala.
Two
of them. Saqala.
Saqala. There are two.
So how about this one, Mahdi? Hasad.
Saqala?
Yeah.
And then
Sa.
Hasad.
Sa.
Which one has a isti'la letter? Elevation?
Seen.
What?
Seen?
No one.
No.
Has said
no.
No.
No. Whatever.
Okay, Hadi. So I will ask one by one. Hadi, this one. Qutila.
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 No.
Which one?
La la.
Go, but it's half.
So, Mihal. Matuna.
Matuna.
Two, T. Matuna.
Matuta.
Matuna.
Which one? Ta?
No.
Or the.
The one with dots.
Mesopotamia.
Oh,
Matuna.
Matuna.
Huh?
I'm saying Matuna, you're saying Matuna.
No, you said the two dots.
Two dots. With two dots.
Yeah.
So matuna, t, ta.
Yeah.
Alif,
with
beta.
This matuna.
Not ba.
Yeah. Not with the left?
Yeah.
Oh. No way.
Oh, say. Okay.
Matuna.
You say. Shurela. Shurela.
Re.
Is it correct, Mahdi? Shurela.
Shurela.
Shurela. I'm saying shurela. Shogila.
Shogila.
It is kasra. It does not have isti'la attribute.
Oh my god. Shogila.
I said, if it has fatha, shogila. If it says shogila, it's great. But if it has kasra, Mahdi, ghi. It does not have, yes? Elevation attribute. Does it have?
No.
Yeah? You apply the istifal attribute, right?
Okay.
Yes? So now touch, say, ikhwa.
Ikhwa.
Ikhwa. Which one? Ikhwa.
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 No.
It's
kha,
kha, but it's sakin.
No.
No, I say no.
It is sakin, but before that? Kasra. Ikh.
Kasra. Ikh.
So remember the rules, okay? Remember, don't forget.
You didn't say the rule.
I told you.
No,
repeat.
When it has kasra, we don't.
So when it has kasra, when the letter itself has kasra, or before it we have kasra, we don't pronounce it with isti'la.
Like if it
attribute.
So if it have
fatha.
Fatha, and before it has kasra.
Fatha and it is sakin. Kasra. If it has kasra, if it has fatha, it's clearly you pronounce. But when it is sakin, look at the previous letter. If the previous letter has fatha, isti'la. If the previous letter has kasra, istifal. That's easy.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
Let's go to Surah Al-Hamd. Everyone. Surah Al-Fatiha, actually, okay? It's called Surah Al-Hamd as well. Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that you recite it many times during the day. So, in your prayers. So, okay. Bismillah, a'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajeem.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
Okay, okay.
شيطان.
طه.
شيطان.
استعلاء, right?
Yeah. شيطان.
Okay, طه is there. شيطان الرجيم. Okay.
شيطان الرجيم.
Next one. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Don't say بسم الله هير. It's not هير. بسم الله الرحمن
الرحيم.
Quiet. Listen up. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
Look, you say بسم الله الرحمن.
بسم الله الرحمن.
Oh, great. هير رحمن. Because with تشديد, right?
هير رحمن.
Hir
Rahman. Hir.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're
hair.
Maybe you're a good dictionary, okay? We'll ask hair. Inshallah the words, okay? The meanings.
I like his haircut.
Okay.
Anna.
Canadian.
Okay. Ready?
Yeah,
okay. الحمد لله رب العالمين.
الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Do we have any استعلاء?
Yes.
We are.
No. را را را. رب
العالمين. Great. What about عين?
No.
No. We say alamin, not alamin. Some people say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, like for Persian. Okay, they're reading Persian. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This is wrong. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Oh, can you?
Stop being dictionary.
Okay? I am a dictionary. I'm a human dictionary. I hear one word that people don't know. I just say
dictionary.
To me, he is only one Qamar.
Get back to the topic. So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen.
Okay. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim.
Isti'ala? Where?
Ar-Rahman
Ar-Rahim. What about meme? What attribute does have meme?
It should be...
Does meme have?
You should stop.
Istifal. Istifal, lowering, yes?
Yeah.
Lowering.
Tefin,
so, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Say it, Mahdi.
Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim.
Correctly, recite it.
Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim.
Okay. Maliki Yawm al-Din.
Maliki Yawm al-Din.
Do not say Maliki Yawm al-Din.
Those are Persian. I'm not Persian. He's Persian.
So next one. Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in.
Okay, don't say Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. Okay, next ayah. Next ayah. This ayah. Pay attention to these two ayahs, okay? The last two ayahs. Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim.
Ihdina al-sirat al-mustaqim.
So, ihdina al-sirat. How about sad?
Sad, no, because it has
kasra, right? Ihdina al-sirat. You don't say ihdina al-sirat. اهدنا الصراط صراط طل طل how about مستقيم قاف
also not because it has كسرة.
Okay, Mahdi, recite this ayah once. اهدنا
الصراط المستقيم.
Recite it.
Yeah, then you recite it.
اهدنا الصراط المستقيم.
Where is the صراط طل.
Okay, صراط المستقيم. Great. Next ayah. Okay, next ayah. Ready? Ready, Mahdi? Okay. صراط الذين.
صراط الذين.
Don't say tal. طل.
صراط
الذين أنعمت عليهم.
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم.
So there is somebody that says za and e.
Okay.
It's you. Yes, vertically.
But that
so, غير المغضوب.
غير المغضوب.
How many? How many استعلاء?
Three. غير.
How many استعلاء letters?
Three.
غي. ري. How about ري?
See, مغ.
No.
Because it has كسرة. مغ. 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 غين. مغ.
مغضوب.
ضاد. Yes. مغضوب. عليهم
عليهم
ولا الضالين. It's very clear.
ولا الضالين.
It's very clear here. Yes. ولا الضالين.
ولا الضالين.
أحسن. Thank you so much. God bless you. Inshallah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. Also, dear students, and also. Maybe me. Yeah.
So,
let's recite the salawat, inshallah, and we will get back. Allahumma salli ala
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
When your horse returns to our camp riderless
أزور سيدي ومعتمدي ورجائي
The ocean of dua
الإمام الحسين عليه السلام زيارة مني ونيابة عن والدي
I did you Us to fend for ourselves, Hussein, Hussein, the slain.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the Most Beneficent, the Most Merciful. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Madarisi, and in this edition of The Ocean of Dua, we are trying to discuss and talk about the different aspects of Ziyarat Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, Ziyarat al-Ashura. So stay with us.
Bari'tu ila Allah wa ilaykum minhum wa min ashiya'ihim wa atba'ihim wa awliya'ihim ya Aba Abdullah inni silmun liman salamakum وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة.
As you were previously with us, brothers and sisters, we were discussing this part of زيارة العاشورة. يا أبا عبد الله إني سلم لمن سالمكم وحرب لمن حاربكم إلى يوم القيامة. I am at peace, يا أبا عبد الله, with he who is at peace with you. And at war, who is at war with you until the day of resurrection. We have sufficiently discussed the true meaning of enmity and friendship in the way of Almighty Allah. Every human being in the beginning possesses an unsullied and sound innate disposition, which is in Quranic terms called fitrah. The Holy Quran says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ So, set your heart on the religion as a people of pure faith. The origination of Allah according to which He originated mankind. فِطْرَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي فَطَرَ النَّاسَ عَلَيْهِ لَا تَبْدِيلَ لِخَلْقِ اللَّهِ There is no altering Allah's creation. ذَلِكَ الدِّينُ الْقَيِّمُ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لا يعلمون. That is the upright religion, but most people do not know. This innate disposition, or fitrah, has different characteristics. One of the main characteristics of the innate disposition is that it naturally seeks benefit and good and keeps away from harm and evil. And I don't think we need any reasons proofs to establish this reality. If we naturally experience it in ourselves, then we feel that it is right. But there are some limitations for the mankind, because they cannot decipher all the things that are beneficial and harmful to them. They cannot understand which things are beneficial and which things are harmful for them. Of course, to some extent, they can experience, they can try, and they can understand which things are good and bad for them. But some things are unavailable for them to understand. The prophets, peace be upon them, were sent to enlighten the human beings about many of these things that are beneficial and harmful to the human beings that they couldn't be aware of. These prophets communicated divine laws to the people so they could attain absolute perfection, something for which every innate disposition really tries for reaching. They try to warn the people away from sins, which they are taught by the Almighty Allah, that these sins are responsible for the destruction of human soul and its eternal misery. So here we understand that those people who blindly speculate that intellect is sufficient to knowing everything, they are not right. They are deprived of the knowledge that would enable them to seek their natural perfection. But some really realized that submission to God would gradually facilitate their ultimate perfection, but sin is destroying their human souls and fling it to the lowest pit. And those are the ones who struggle to refrain from sins. Those are the ones who understood this fact.
When people ask, I'm confused about which school is right or which madhab is right, go to Karbala. Look at Karbala, it clarifies it instantaneously. Anybody says, I'm confused, say, please go to Karbala and tell me what happened, why it happened, and what does it have to do with your religion. You will see it completely exemplifies. It clarifies, it takes all the blurs out instantaneously. SubhanAllah, that's the miracle of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Imam Hussein alayhi salam's main foundation of morality is do not allow tyranny, do not allow evil doing, do not allow indecency. Why is Imam like this? Because he knows Allah, he appreciates Him, he understands His dimensions. That's why we must love them so much. We must love them so much that don't let anybody else take us away from them. There should be no room in our thoughts. No matter who we admire in this world, no matter how great a person we look at, never move the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt out of the center of the heart. Never. They will know that their Khalifa lied to them because he told them they don't pray. And if they see them praying on the battlefield, their hearts will change. So stop them from praying. Imagine how evil these people were. That's how much lies they had. And you cannot eradicate this lie at the level that we're talking about unless you give your blood for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
So, fitratullahi allati fatara an-nasa 'alayha, the origination of Allah, according to which He originated mankind, tells all the human beings that there are some things you would understand by your heart. There are also some things that you are not to understand except by the guidance of the Ahlul Bayt and the Prophets. Not all the believers were able to observe steadfastness on the path of absolute perfection because of not caring about this point. The life of the material world and the evil inviting self blindfolded some of the people, and there is a need of wakening the soul and placing it on the right track for these people. These are the people who were not with the Ahlul Bayt until the day of resurrection. Either they were not starting the path from the Ahlul Bayt, or either they were diverted and they were somehow misled from the path of the Ahlul Bayt, and they could not stay with them perpetually. إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ until the day of resurrection. And this is a fundamental reason why Islam has legislated and made obligatory the two principles of tawalli and tabarri. It means you have to express your friendships with the lovers of Allah, and you have to express your hatred and detachment from the enemies of Allah both at the same time. When these two principles are practiced constantly and together, this is what changes the human soul. This is what wakes up the soul of human beings. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
الذي صنعت من الرمح منبرا ظمآن والزمان بعينيك ممطرا نعم الأمير أنت حسين وقدوتي ساروا إليك قلبي وعقلي ودمعتي يا محيي الكرامة تبكيك كل عين لبيك يا إمامي لبيك يا حسين الروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين بالروح بالدم لبيك يا حسين
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear listeners, sisters and brothers from all around the world. Welcome to Youth Station. This is Arab English Radio. I am Asma at your service. And here with me, I have my very special friend.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Zainab. I hope all you're doing good.
So, dear listeners, today we're going to talk about something which